I'm Satya Gumpert, and I'm a historian of modern Britain, and I specialize in race and ethnicity and trying to think about how both of those things influence our identity and the communities around us where we live. My research is particularly on the 1960s and 1970s. And this is a period when the population of people who have come from the new Commonwealth and the Empire coming to Britain increases quickly at the beginning of the 60s because the law has changed. And what that means for schools is there's quite an increase in some areas for people or for pupils of Caribbean and South Asian heritage. And initially, there is a bit of a panic, and we find this from the Houses of Commons all the way down to local campaign groups and local politics. And what race means in the 1960s and 70s, it's a problem. It's a problem for parents whose children are there. It's viewed as a threat. And for some parents, for some, but not all, they object to South Asian children and Caribbean children being educated in the same school as, and same classes as their own children. So when we think about race as a problem for local politicians, local schools, and for national politicians, what can be forgotten is that there are children at the heart of this whose educational experiences are changed. And maybe one way of framing their experiences for everyone involved is to think about empire and how the legacy of empire matters to how not just politicians and teachers and local schools think about these new students, but also how the students themselves see themselves as part of a school, as part of their communities, and what is possible for them, and what are the limitations for how they can go to school, or what schools they even go to, or what classes they are taught. So the big increase in South Asian children at school happens at the beginning of the 60s. Until that point, the South Asian migrants in Britain were predominantly men from working class black background, working in factories and in sort of heavy industry. And I specialize in a part of West London called Southall. And in the 60s, when sort of what we call dependents come over, so families, wives, and children, the first issue that they encounter is having to send their children to schools where they're not familiar with the education system. Often, the women who came over to join their partners perhaps couldn't speak English as well or didn't have good enough English language skills to navigate what was a very different educational system. And one of the solutions, because of the hostility they faced from parents and from local politicians, was to bus South Asian children to schools where they would be in the minority. So the fear of education minister in the House of Commons at the time is that some schools will end up being what he calls immigrant schools, places where more than 30% of children have parents who are immigrants. And at this point, it's interesting who counted as immigrants. So there are parts of Britain, like Bedford, where lots of Italian migrants moved after the war and even before the war. And there's no panic about busing or English language skills or migrants taking over a school. But in a place like Southall in West London, because these children are coming from India and sort of the Punjab region, there is a fear that this will affect schools. So the solution is this busing project. So every morning, you would, if you were a child whose parents were migrants from South Asia, you would meet lots of children from the same situation at a bus stop, and you would get on this bus, and it would take you, in some cases, up to 10 miles away to be educated at another school where you would be in the minority. And at these schools, we put in a separate class. So it sort of defeated the purpose of moving all these children to another school to then put them all together again. And what happened was parents were unable to play a part in their child's education. They were unfamiliar with where their children were being educated, no contact with teachers. Things like teachers' evenings or parent-teacher evenings were not possible. traveling to school together became a very long journey. And once there, children were bullied. Often it was quite racist bullying. Because of the timings of the bus, they couldn't take part in sports, drama, music, lots of the sorts of extracurricular activities that would help integration, as they called it at the time. And often this would mean that South Asian children, and in many cases, Caribbean heritage children, were put in the bottom set. Their abilities were never integrated into the system as a whole, and they were given quite basic teaching repetitively again and again. When it came to the sources I was using, for politicians at the top level, those sources exist in the British Library and the National Archives, both in London. But for a project like this, it was very important to me to find out how parents and their children experience this policy. And in that case, one of the best sources for historians working on Black, but also South Asian history in Britain, are the Black Cultural Archives in Brixton. And there you can find oral histories, so interviews carried out with people who experienced this part of British history. You can also find campaigning material, so activists who try to stop busing, for example, and posters, leaflets, memos about local activists discussing these issues and trying to decide how to combat what they saw as racism directed towards their community. There are problems with some of these sources. So, for example, oral histories, which are basically interviews, sometimes instead of recording what actually happened, we record what people remember happened. So in the case of busing, what we tend to find is what's happened since the 70s and 80s has changed how people think about busing and might not always reflect how it was actually lived at the time. Another issue with oral histories is how we find those people. So for busing, the working class Punjabi population of Southall, those historians who have tried to interview that population, it's proven really difficult to find people from that background. And instead, we find more people coming forward for these interviews from East African Asian backgrounds, who are potentially maybe more middle class, came to Britain with higher English language skills, more perhaps family wealth behind them, and maybe they found it easier to move on from that experience. And they were in the minority of people who experienced busing. So as a historian, we have to be really critical and ask, why are these sources survived, or why has this been preserved? And sometimes these are difficult questions and there's no easy answer. And sometimes we have to take a creative leap to try and figure out what exactly was the most likely thing to have happened. The photo you see here is a photo of the Southall Black Sisters from the Observer magazine in 1985. And the Southall Black Sisters were a local activist group made up of women from several generations, as you can see from the photo, from quite different immigrant backgrounds. So while some women had migrated, had that experience of coming over from India and also East Africa, other women had been born in Britain or had been educated in West London. And beyond the different generations, what I think is interesting about the Southall Black Sisters is, when we talk from 2021 and looking back, is that they call themselves Black Sisters. So as you can see from the photograph, these are all South Asian women. And what this tells us is that the word Black in the 1980s and 1970s as well, before, was an important political tool. And maybe our ideas about race as something fixed and with really clear boundaries of who belongs to what. Well, this is a period of British history where activists and this group, the Southall Black Sisters, who were not just anti-racist, but they stood against sexism and thought about the ways that their race and their gender affected the oppression, as they saw it, they experienced in Britain. And one way they fought through this problem in Southall was thinking of themselves about as a Black group. So that meant not just women from the Caribbean heritage and African heritage, but also South Asian women. And sometimes this definition of Black stretched to include Irish people in Britain. So we see an idea of race that this feminist anti-racist group had, that was really expansive. It could change and provided a platform to campaign and change Britain. The written source you have in front of you is by a gentleman called Tuku Mukherjee in an essay called The Journey Back. And this essay was published in 1988. Mukherjee was a teacher in Southall and in its surrounding areas and in schools nearby, who was involved in teaching South Asian heritage and Caribbean heritage children in these classes where they were learning English when they were bused to other schools. The interesting thing about this source is Mukherjee is not writing at the time of busing. He is writing in 1988. And by 1988, lots of events have happened in Britain that have changed perhaps how we think about race. And maybe we can think about how that may have affected what Mukherjee has written in these sources. So the first paragraph we have describes Mukherjee as being cast as an immigrant teacher. His role was therefore to teach specifically these children of South Asian heritage. And in his view, he can't escape this. And the racism he feels from other teachers, where he's forced to be stuck with these children, is a racism he sees not just in the teaching profession, but also the parents who are, as he calls it, at the bottom of a scrap heap, and the kids who are in a similar position. So instead of thinking about racism as something between people, Mukherjee is suggesting that there's a structure of racism in society. So from the teaching profession to labor, for the manual labor for their parents, the sorts of jobs their parents do. And as Mukherjee sees it on the front line as a teacher, the classes, the education that South Asian and Caribbean heritage children are receiving are, in his view, preparing them for the same role that their parents played, as he calls it, at the bottom of a scrap heap. In this section of the text, we can see Mukherjee's recollections of accompanying the children back to the bus stop. And he tells us how these children who were bused experienced racism, sometimes physical assault, not just verbal assault, because of who they were, because of the color of their skin. They were unwelcome in their school. And this calls into question just how effective busing was. So when busing was introduced, the justification was not just because they were scared of the reaction of some parents, not all parents, but some parents. It was also justified that this would provide South Asian children an introduction to British life. And this might seem strange because South Asian children who came over had come from a country which had been part of Britain in some form or another for 100 years or so, over 100 years. So these children who were thoroughly part of British history were viewed as outsiders. And in this text here, Mukherjee discusses how they remained outsiders. In his own words, we come as outsiders, remain as outsiders, and go back as outsiders. So if the purpose of this policy was to integrate these children, well, perhaps we can say it failed and ask, why did it happen? Because we know that at the time, the Department of Education suggested that this was not an efficient way of delivering English language schooling, if indeed those children needed it. So maybe we can think about this policy in terms of a gesture to appease hostility towards Black and Asian people in Britain and their children and what rights they may have in the education system. Mukherjee is writing in 1988. So by this time in Southall, for example, you've had the Southall riots in 1979. You've had another Southall riot in 1981. You've also had riots in Brixton, St. Paul's and Handsworth. So what race is in Britain in the 1980s is not necessarily the same thing as it was in the 70s when busing was at its height. Race has become, for some newspapers and politicians and for much of the electorate, a threat to the social order of Britain. And there is a really different way of trying to think, how do we have good, as it's called at the time, good race relations? And that can feel quite a backwards way of thinking about race today, because race relations, I think, comes from the empire. The idea that there are different races and the job of government is to manage the relationships between those distinct and different races. And in the 1980s, we have a move towards what we call multiculturalism. We start thinking about respecting cultural difference. And for people like Mukherjee, who throughout his work, he describes himself as a Black teacher. And just like the South or Black Sisters, this can seem a bit strange to us as a modern reader. And again, this is race as something political. It is, for Mukherjee at least, it is not about multiculturalism or respecting cultural difference. More, Mukherjee's idea of being Black is about fighting for equality. And it's never about, for Mukherjee, asking for respect for his cultural difference, but instead asking for equality in British society. This video shows children being bused in the morning. So as we can see, they meet up, all defined by effectively the color of their skin. They meet up in the morning near a bus stop, earlier than the school day starts for most of us. And they go, in one case from Southall, children were bused to Watford for their education. So that's around over 10 miles. So if every morning their school day started like this, by the time they got there, they were extremely tired. And then they were put into separate classes. And while these videos only show us the journey to and from this school, we can imagine that the school day there, where they were put into separate classes, they were bullied and had to be accompanied back to the bus stop in case they were attacked, made a very strange school day, isolated from their parents, sometimes taken away from their brothers and sisters. What is interesting about this video, it was made in 1970, and the images we have here are images that weren't used, but it was filmed for BBC Panorama documentary. So what this suggests is that even in 1970, this policy was notable, and maybe we might even say controversial. So the idea that the whole of the country was united against the fact that these children were a problem could be most likely inaccurate. There were active discussions about what this policy meant. And interestingly, some of those policy discussions focused on the similarities with the American example of desegregation. So in America, there's a similar policy. And the BBC Panorama documentary makes that link with places where African Americans were having to be bused to schools to desegregate them, to mix them. The irony in this situation is that it's a one-way project. There are no white children being bused. It is solely South Asian children. So instead of thinking how this is an attempt at desegregation, as some historians have tried to address this issue, we might try and think maybe this is repeating this pattern of segregation, a separate class for children, only treating South Asian children like this and not children of white British heritage. When looking at this variety of sources, I think for a historian, it's really important to have this range, because when it comes to ethnic minority history, so Black or Asian history in Britain, many historians have a problem with sources, what has survived or what has been preserved. So we have to be quite creative with that and think about the ways these different sources of women who were activists, of teachers, of the pupils themselves, how they come together to rebuild or reconstruct that history. Because otherwise we'll be left with a top-down history that focuses perhaps on politicians and decision makers in the House of Commons, instead of thinking how ordinary people experienced these big decisions and how they were also involved in challenging them, changing them, and trying to define their identity through these big decisions.